Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. And with you also,
Pastor. And with you also, Pastor.
All right. This is really going to be kind of interesting. Feels kind of weird having you up here.
And you too. Also with you.
And also with you. Okay. What we did is we're going to talk about the text. I'm going to take the first four verses, and Pastor Perry's going to take the last five verses, and then we're going to talk about, for an illustration, some things that have happened in 2011 at Amazing Grace, and also what the Lord has planned 2012. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
So, thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. Once again, this is written 700 years before Jesus is born. Okay? And this talks about the servant, and we refer to it as the suffering servant later on in the song, in the text from Isaiah. But Isaiah says, "Here is my servant," and he's talking on behalf of the Lord. "Behold, my servant." Now, who is the servant? It could point to Cyrus, the king of Persia, who helped the Israelites get back from Babylon. Can be the nation of Israel, or could be Messiah. Or it can be all three. And I think when we read the scriptures, we have to have a both and idea, okay? Not either or. It has to be both and, all right? "Whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight." Notice it's God's choice, not the servant's choice. God chooses the servant. And he, in his infinite wisdom, he chose the servant from all eternity. He chose Jesus, all right? That was his choice. And he delights in him. Once again, from before there was a creation, the Father delighted in the Son. He goes on to say, "I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." And justice is mentioned three times in this text. Justice is very important to God. And we love it when we receive justice, right? You don't love it when we... So he wants us to love justice for other people also, okay? As Christians, we should be justice-seeking people, all right? So, who is this servant? Jesus tells us later in Matthew chapter 12. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nation will put their hope." So Jesus is pointing to himself as the servant, okay? Matthew Henry writes, "We are sure that the verses are to be understood of Christ, for the evangelist tells us expressly that in him this prophecy was fulfilled. Behold, with an eye of faith, behold and observe, behold and admire, my servant whom I uphold. Let the Old Testament saints behold and remember him. Now what must we behold and consider concerning him?" It's important what the people in the Old Testament thought and what the people in the New Testament thought. But what's more important is what do we think about this servant, all right? Do we believe he was just a good earthly teacher? That's what our society tells us today, right? But the point is this, Isaiah is pointing us to Jesus Christ, 700 years before he was born. Martin Luther writes, "This is an outstanding statement. He speaks of the head, who is nevertheless a man, and unites a man with divine glow and calls him a servant. From various idolatries and sects, he calls us to this one Christ, who is the unique sign that heals us." He's pointing us to Jesus Christ, to this person, and he's saying, "He is Lord and God, he is your salvation." And he's saying that Jesus has this glow of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit, and so are we. It's not something we just read about in the Bible, right? Isaiah chapter 11. in one of the preceding chapters, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, on Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. Did that rest on Jesus? Absolutely, right? But with righteousness he will judge the needy, and justice, once again justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. What's interesting, when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was baptized, remember the heavens were torn open, mm-hmm. and the Spirit came down upon him without measure, right? Mm. Matthew Henry writes, the Spirit did not only come but rest upon him, not by measure, as on others of God's servants, but without measure.
Amen.
Jesus received the Holy Spirit like nobody had ever received the Spirit mm-hmm. before. Okay?
Amen.
Those whom God employs as His servants, as He will uphold them and be well pleased with them, so He will put His Spirit upon them, upon you and me.
Amen.
Okay? And upon you.
Yes.
Okay? Not just pastors.
No.
The Holy Spirit's for all of us, right? And Jesus received it without measure. We're probably not going to receive it to the extent Jesus did. Nobody will, okay? Because Jesus was God and man. But we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit, all right?
Amen.
We can receive the Holy Spirit, and we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ. When we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, then we receive the Holy Spirit. But what do we do when we receive this Holy Spirit? What are we to do when we receive this Holy Spirit? Is it pass it on, right? Pass it on. That's a good line. I should have used that in my sermon. The idea is that it's not for us. It's not that for us to have the warm, fuzzy feeling, right? It's for us to serve and glorify Him. That's why we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not so that we can just feel really good and speak exotic languages and stuff like that. It's so that we can serve Him and bring glory to Him. And I'm not saying that the gift of tongues is a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Done the right way.
But what does Paul say?
Mm-hmm.
He'd rather preach the gospel
Amen.
Than speak in tongues. Okay? So, we live for Him. Mm-hmm. It changes everything. All right?
Amen.
Martin Luther writes, we see from experience that nothing is more absurd to the wisdom of the flesh than Christ, the servant and His word. All are offended because of Him. All of us want to be God's servants while we please ourselves. And isn't that the truth? I'm going to serve You, Lord. But,
yeah.
Okay, and then we add, I want to do this, I want to do that, right? And yesterday at the men's Bible study, it was great. John said, I've been living my life 80% Christian. And he says, Jesus wants 100%. You remember that, Tim? Jesus wants 100% of us. And we're thinking, 100%, that's a lot to give, right? Well, what's Jesus given us? Everything.
Yeah.
110, right? So, we wouldn't. It all comes from Him. Everything. Every breath comes from Him. So we look at the next verse, is verse 2. I finally get some good verses here.
Absolutely.
You always get the good verses, and I get the harsh ones. All right? So neener, neener, neener. All right?
Preach it, brother. Preach it, brother.
All right. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. He's going to be humble. He's not going to be a conquering king. But what did they expect when Jesus was here? They expected a David-like king, right? A conquering hero. It goes on to say, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He's going to discriminate in favor of the poor, the hurting, the outcast, and the disenfranchised. So is Jesus prejudiced? Yes. To the hurting. Okay, to the outcast, mm-hmm. to the disenfranchised, to the poor,
Amen.
To the miserable.
Yes.
And what's our society? Just the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're famous and you have money, then you're really something, right? Okay? Not according to Jesus, okay? What he's saying, though, is everybody's going to be safe and secure in him. Everybody. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. Once again, here's the justice again, for Jew and Gentile. He's going to save us and establish justice. In his law, the islands will put their hope. So it's going to be for everybody. And the law here can be Torah or gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it's primarily the gospel, right? Because we're living in a different age, all right? But Jesus comes to us in gentleness. Matthew Henry writes, those that are weak, he will be tender of. Those that have but a little life, a little heat, that are weak as a reed, oppressed with doubts and fears, as a bruised reed that are as smoking flax, as the weak wick of a candle newly lighted, which is ready to go out again. He will not despise them, will not plead against them with his great power, nor lay upon them work or more suffering than they can bear, which would break and quench them, but will graciously consider their frame. More is implied than is expressed. He will not break the bruised reed, but will strengthen it, that it may become a cedar in the courts of our God. He will not quench the smoking flax, but blow it up into a flame. So not only does he discriminate for the weak and the poor and the hurting, he's going to make them strong. And stronger and better than others. All right? That's what he promises us. So the question today is, are there any bruised reeds or smoldering wicks here today? Amen, right? These words are for you, right? These words are for you. It's his promise. He's on your side. And he's going to pour out his Spirit upon you, and you will be strong.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you will overcome. That's his promise. Time and time again in the Scriptures, okay? In regards to the last verse, he will not falter or be discouraged. Jesus is faithful to accomplish his task. And now in him we have hope. Matthew Henry writes, he promises to stand by him, by Jesus, and strengthen him in it, to hold his hand not only to his work, but in it, to hold his hand that it might not shake, that it might not fail, and so to keep him. When an angel was sent from heaven to strengthen him in his agonies, and the Father himself was with him, then this promise was fulfilled. Note, those whom God calls, he will own and help, and will hold their hands. If you're a bruised reed or a smoldering wick today, God's going to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even if you don't feel like, yes. He's still putting the hand out, right? But just think, Almighty God, when we're going through bad times, He will hold our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Martin Luther writes, meanwhile, Jesus seems foolish, weak, and ridiculous, and therefore it is difficult to believe him. For that reason, he says, to him I have given the Spirit. No one ascends to heaven but he alone. Therefore, cling to him and take nothing to yourselves except what is in Christ. Because apart from him we do nothing and are nothing but heaps of sin. Here, however, he gives us the treasure, with a capital T, which is Jesus, who embraces all those things which he accomplishes publicly through works and plans, as well as all remaining sin. Therefore, he commends this unique God to us, because the heavens and earths and demons must tremble. Cling to Jesus. When we're going through tough times and there's nowhere else to turn to Jesus, right? This Wednesday when I preached on Romans, Dr. Utley said, faith is the hand that accepts the gift from God. And that hand, he's reaching out to us with his hand. But the question is, are we going to grab a hold of it, like Kathy was saying, okay? It's there for us. We just have to grab hold. So the hope for humankind is Jesus. Our hope comes to us in a person, not in a philosophy or a religion. Our hope comes to us in a person who lives in us and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, just a couple comments, sir, Pastor Rick, on application. One
I got to keep notes now.
Okay. Go ahead. I defer my minutes to you.
No, it's okay. I better get a pencil. All right. Okay. All right, go ahead. I'm ready.
I'm not now. Okay. It's interesting that Isaiah 42 many times has been a text, an Old Testament lesson for today, which is the baptism of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember that.
That's right. It's a
good thing. It's just amazing how this all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the smoldering wick. Even we don't even have a flame in our faith. It's not even burning. It's just this wick of smoke, and that's it. That's the only faith we have. Jesus won't snuff that out and go... He instead wants to turn into a flame, which is really encouraging for us when we don't feel His presence, like Kathy said, right?
Amen.
It's just so cool. The other is that I think it's so important what you said about the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a while back, and many of us says, well, it's not just for pastors. In fact, the emphasis, I believe, for the new year will be God pouring out His Spirit on you people. Because if it's just on us, it gets bottlenecked. When He starts pouring out His Spirit on the people, that's when revival happens.
Amen.
Great Awakening was led by lay people, and they went everywhere with the gospel, and even Acts. The apostles stayed in one area. The rest of the people were scattered because of persecution. Wherever they went, the Bible says they proclaimed the Word.
Amen.
With the fullness and the power of the Spirit, whom some didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit in our other text from Ephesus. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, another thing, Pastor, I'm going to comment on my mm-hmm. own text, is I heard about how wonderful the women's study was yesterday. It's true today people don't know who the Holy Spirit is. Christians who have been in the church for years.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on Father and Son. But the Holy Spirit, the church has kind of backed away from that because it's too much like the book of Acts. And if you get people plugged into the Holy Spirit, you might lose control. You might have wild things happening in the church, okay? Fire might rain down from heaven, you know. People will speak in different languages. You can't control it.
They might even see angels.
And praise God, we can't control
it. Yes,
right?
Yes.
And by the way, Sandy, we spoke about you yesterday at the men's study.
Yep.
And we all said, you know, she's kind of spacey and stuff. But she sees angels because she was dead at one time and she's alive. And what I said is I wish I could see angels like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could see angels and stuff, what would people think about you? They think you're crazy or wacko, right?
Yeah.
So it's appropriate that I think you're crazy and wacko. But at the same time, I wish I was crazy and wacko like you, all right? So anyway, I don't know how we got there. But
well, I do, because I was going to mention that's the Holy Spirit. We were talking yesterday in the men's Bible study about you and about the whole thing of seeing angels and opening up the supernatural. It's when people are filled and baptized and continually filled with the Holy Spirit that opens up their vision, right? It's in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, not in religion, and it opens up a whole new world. When it's like a torch, a bonfire, go. It's just... Anyway, we got to cover the rest of the text, so here's my turn, okay? Isaiah 42. In this text, it's a kind of a repetition. Well, I jumped ahead last week on New Year's Day and preached on Isaiah 43, but it's very similar, verses 5 through 9, that we're in verse chapter 43. For those of you who weren't here on New Year's Day, we talked about starting the new year off right with God and not partying like the world, but celebrating with God and angels. Guilt, and starting the year off right. But we're forgiven, we move forward, right? Having said all that...
What I told my son yesterday is if you can go to the bar on Saturday night, you can go to church on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love it.
All righty.
And if we're going to surrender 100% to God, He should come first. Whether it be New Year's Day or a football game.
Yeah, but the wings are really good at that bar.
No. Bring them over here.
I'm just going up with the excuses that... We come up with, right?
And okay. Maybe Martha, we can bring pork on a fork over here then. All right. That's a place that... Right. Okay, Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 9. This is what the Lord God says. So look who's talking.
Mm.
God's reminding His people, look who's talking. This is not some politician who's going to make empty promises and campaign to get elected. He says, I am the Lord, whether anybody follows or not. He says... I am the Lord, the one who created the heavens and stretched them out. The heavens, He stretched them out all over. And you think of all the thousands of galaxies, not just our galaxy, and the stars. And some of the stars are multiplied times larger than our sun, beyond comprehension. This is the one who's talking to us. who created the heavens, stretched them out, spread out the earth, and all that comes out of it. It didn't just happen. We are talking about the Creator. So who's talking to us? The Creator. Because as Pastor Rick's had all these tough passages of warning, of judgment of these people, because the nation's in decline like ours was in decline. And he and the prophets warning these people, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. This is going to happen if you don't turn around. That same God now gives them comfort to those that remnant who will believe in him. And he said, now you think all these emperors like from Assyria and Babylonia are the powerful ones? I'm the one that created heavens and earth. So he said, look who's talking. And who gives breath to his people. Every breath I take is a gift from God. Right? Every breath. And life to those who walk in. Life is sacred. We think about Roe versus Wade. Life is sacred from the womb all the way on. God says from beginning to end, from old to young, young to old, I am the one who creates life, and it's precious to me, and it should be precious to us too. You know? And he says, okay, look who's talking. Verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Now, he's speaking to the Messiah, but he's also speaking to us. He's calling us to righteousness, right? Through Jesus Christ. And he says, and you just mentioned, Luther just quoted this, I will take you, I will take hold of your hand. Remember when you were little, and maybe your mom or dad would say, don't be afraid, I'll take hold of your hand. There was some added surety.
Yes.
Daddy's got to hold it. And I remember feeling a whole lot better, having that large hand of my dad carrying me and holding me through something scary, but I'm scared. It's okay, I've got a hold of your hand. God's saying to you right now, into the new year, he's saying to us as a church, don't be afraid. I've got a hold of your hand. Now, who's got a hold of my hand? The Creator who has all this power.
Yes.
Not some wimp, weak God. Notice that Bill Maurer, that commentator makes fun of God, is on TV a lot.
Yeah.
I thought of the quote you had earlier, people think it's offensive and how ridiculous this weak Jesus could be the Savior. Well, he's deluded. He has no clue of the power that Jesus Christ has, right? And this is the one. Look who's talking. The one who will give account of their lives, all of us, to him someday. But he takes hold of our hand. He says, I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and light for the Gentiles, for the Messiah, but also for us. Because we're little Christ. That's what Christian means, a little Christ. You're a miniaturized version of Jesus, or should be, and I should be. Right? Yeah. Only through the Holy Spirit and through the blood of Jesus. But he says, I will keep you. This is God preserving. The first article talks about that I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that has given me a body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them. So God not only creates us, but he preserves us.
Amen.
He preserves us. He keeps us. There was a word of the Lord, Babby, I think we talked about it, or I was going to a prophetic word that was put over a few of us, that God will preserve, preservation, not just providing, but preserving. Not just starting a church here at Amazing Grace, but preserving it and keeping it. And not just starting you into faith, but he who began that work will continue it, to preserve it and keep you in the faith. I can't hold on to my faith. I can't keep strong, but Jesus got a hold of me, and he's got a hold of you too in 2012. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, another part of this is ushers. I remember the big deal in Missouri Synod was ushering. You couldn't sit. You had to have the usher seat you, right? And they, and then they would, in church, and they would lead you to the pew.
You'd be waiting a long time here.
Yeah. And then they give you your bulletin. Yeah. No. Well, here the Messiah, Jesus, ushers in the kingdom. He leads people by the hand and says, here's your place in my kingdom. Here's your place in my kingdom. Here's your place. Not over here. You're over here. Gilbert, you're there, right where I want you. Gilbert, you're back there where I want you. And he wants you in the right place at the right time to be used. So the power is in the people. It's not in us, right? We are equipping the saints for ministry.
Amen.
The power is yours. The Holy Spirit's yours. And when you all catch fire, all of us catch fire, and the fires go out everywhere, that's when revival happens. It's not based on pastors. It's based on the people. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh.
God is good.
Yes.
Amen.
So Jesus
God
ushers
in
it. He ushers it in. And look what he ushers in. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And again, remember when Isaiah's writing this, it's bad news for the country. It's looking horrible. The economy's looking awful. People are... It's just not looking good. They're going to lose their home, their church, their family, and be exiled to another country. And yet, through all that, there's good news. And there's good news for us. No matter how bad it is, like my family's a touchstone, they've lost everything. If they know Christ, they have everything. They have everything.
Amen.
Oh, all right. So that's the kingdom. And Pastor Rick, it's so important that this is the kingdom. Verse 7, look at that's the kingdom.
Mm.
It's not religion.
Mm.
It's not, what do you call it, noses and nickels and...
Nickels and noses. Nickels and noses, yeah.
Or bodies in church and bucks and buildings, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about all that. It's about the kingdom. And that's very exciting there in verse 7. The bad part, yeah, that's the bad part. The good part is, what's the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. And what happened yesterday was awesome.
Mm.
The jail and the bubble breakfast and the women's tea. The whole day, saturated with God's presence.
Mm.
And we love that, don't we, pastors?
Yes. And the bacon ain't half bad either.
And the rolls we had on top of it, yes.
Really?
All right, and the verse 8. Again, he reminds the people, look who's talking. The great I am, Yahweh.
Mm.
I am the Lord.
Yes.
I have to remember that phrase. I think I need to tattoo it to my head. God says, I am the Lord. You're not. A Purpose-Driven Life book talks about, number one, God is God and you're not.
Mm.
And I'm not.
Mm.
But I think I have to take things in control. God's not working, so I guess I have to step in. He says, I am the Lord. That's my name. Yahweh, I am that I am. This is His name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. We are to give glory. We talk about glory be, you know. Glory to God on the highest. Glory means this heaviness, this shining light of glory, because God is light. And we just give to Him what's already His, His honor and glory. We say, praise you. And there's something that happens when we're praising on Monday nights or Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights, when we take our focus off ourselves and even off the words and the music and just sit and listen to and worship God and wait on Him.
Mm.
It's amazing, isn't it?
God is
when
good.
We give Him the glory, He says, I'm going to give you peace like you've never had before. Excuse me. So, finally, in verse 9, He says, see. I like that word, see. It's like, wake up! Look, open up your eyes and see. Because circumstances look bad sometimes, right? If we go by circumstance and our emotions and our feelings, it can feel and look awful. But God says, open up your eyes to the spirit world. See that there are angels around. See that my spirit and the light is getting brighter, even though the dark is getting darker. If you'll just wait, look what I'm doing.
Mm.
Look what I'm doing in Amazing Grace. And that's what we'll talk about here in a couple seconds. Look what He's done and look what He's going to do.
Amen.
See with the eyes of faith. See with the eyes of Jesus. Look at people the way Jesus sees them, like Kathy talked about. The down and out and the poor. Look at those poor people. Look at us. Look at others. And talk to them the way Jesus talks to others in Christ-likeness and love.
Mm.
And because our tongue can give us in a lot of trouble, right? And James says it's like start a forest fire.
Amen.
So watch how we speak to one another because it's a precious soul. Blood-bought soul. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we do. We love Jesus, she said.
Amen.
That's
the right answer.
Look at that smile.
Already.
What a sweetie. So finally, then God says this in verse 9. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Last week I talked about the verse that was prophesied over me when it looked like I lost my ministry, lost my marriage, lost everything. It was prophesied, laid hands on me, the verse from chapter 43, 18 and 19. Forgetting the things in the past and looking forward to those things anew. A new thing I am doing, do you not perceive it? And here's the same thing that God is saying. In the middle of all this doom and gloom, I am doing a new thing with the Messiah, with Jesus. This is 700 years before Jesus came, and it's still the newness. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new.
Mm.
If you're bored of your religion, it's your problem, not God's. It's my problem, not God's, because it's always fresh and new. God is always up to something. He's always up to something. Mm. He is on the move. Amen?
Amen.
So, He says, before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Attention, please. Attention, please. May I have your attention? That's what God's trying to say. May I have your attention, please? Because I want to tell you what's going to happen. He does it with Isaiah, but He also does it today, and there's a balance of the Word of God in the Bible, and also when God gives a word, a prophecy, it says, this is what God says today. Yes, sweetie? Yes, we pray to Him, but also that for His glory. Good point. Good point, sweetie. Mm. Finally then, so what is God saying? What is His word today for this church, His fresh word? What is He saying, applying the word of God, but what is He saying to Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. And I had this, I was talking to Pastor Rick about 5 or 6 weeks ago, a new yield for a new year.
Mm.
And there's three different meanings for yield, and this is the first time I had my notes in the PowerPoint, and now you don't have it. You don't have it. But the...
Doesn't God have a great sense of humor?
Okay, there's three definitions for yield. One is the farmers say harvest, right? They talk about a harvest, a new yield. Like our friends in North Dakota, don't you know, they hear this. They talk about a good yield, a high yield
you
for the harvest. It's a big deal. They have a harvest that has a good yield. Also, it means investment, return on your investment, have a high yield. If we put our investment in the kingdom of God, you cannot give God.
Mm.
It's going to come back. So we trust God for that. Finally, yield means to surrender. You know the sign, yield sign? You see them all around.
If you're in front of somebody.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry, Babby. I've tipped it, but it means to defer to the other driver, to yield, to surrender to them. So here's the third definition of yield, is to surrender actually to a higher power. I look it up in Webster's. To surrender to a higher power. So what is it you need to surrender in 2012 to a higher power, name of Jesus Christ? Everything, right? And what is he saying? I believe he's calling us to a new harvest as it relates to the Holy Spirit being poured out to more people.
Mm.
And now let's recount. Yeah.
I took some notes.
Okay.
Many times it says, I the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote this, though? Isaiah, right?
Yep.
It's a man.
Yes, good point.
But he's speaking, he knows he's speaking the Word of God. Okay? Does that happen today?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
When
Pastor Perry and I preach, we're giving you a word from the Lord. And yesterday in the men's Bible study, we brought up how a word of the Lord will come to people on Monday evenings. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us things that we hadn't thought of, okay? Things we hadn't seen. And we get a word from the Lord. We know it's a word from the Lord because it doesn't contradict Scripture. So it can never contradict Scripture, okay? But Isaiah wasn't afraid to preach God's word,
no.
Even if people got ticked off. All right. So Pastor Perry and I are going to preach God's word.
Like it
and if people get angry,
yep.
We're accountable to Him, right? The other thing, Pastor, is mm-hmm. in verse 5 when it says breath.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that ruach?
Ruach. Yes.
Yes. The Hebrew word means breath or spirit.
Oh man.
Breath or spirit.
Yeah.
So. He's going to give us, this servant is going to give us breath to its people, going to give us the Holy Spirit and life. With the Holy Spirit comes life. Physical and spiritual life come through the Ruach of God, all right? Through the breath of God. Now, that's the only comments I have on this.
That's good.
But blessings for 2011. I know many of us have had a really tough year in 2011. How many people had a bad year in 2011? Okay. All right. It wasn't easy in the church either. You know, Pastor Perry, and I didn't used to have any gray hair until this year. Okay.
And I've had a lot more.
But even during the tough times, and Pastor, you got the list here. What we'll do is I'll read one and you read the other.
Okay.
If you want to comment on it. Even with this rough year, we got new carpeting, we got 100 new chairs, a recoated parking lot,
mm-hmm.
new air conditioning in the sanctuary, and new roofing.
All that.
All that. And we are not a rich church. So where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
From God. Okay. It didn't come from us. It came from Him.
And we're so grateful for the fellowship hall that Mike and Jim worked so hard on. I mean, that place was rocking yesterday. We had two events. You know, yesterday we had the bubble breakfast and the ladies' tea, and the Spirit was just saturating the fellowship hall we talked about with God's presence. As we were feeding on food, we were feeding on God's Word at the same time. Thanks. Just think, we used to have the dividers here and try to have fellowship back there, or we're trying to have worship, others are having fellowship, and it was
the Spanish service, trying to have the Spanish service when there was noise going on back there. I'm going to skip and take and let you talk about the other one, but Spanish Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
We finally started a Spanish Bible study. We've been doing Spanish ministry for 8 years. And now, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, we have Spanish Bible study here. Sometimes there's only 2 people. But praise God. Yeah. We have it, you know. So thanks be to God. All right?
Think about Celebrate Recovery. I'm so excited, ladies. Thank you for your faithfulness in Roberta and Jeremiah. Our Celebrate Recovery, we had, 8 to 10 people have been coming. And it's for people with hurts and habits and hang-ups and addictions. And We've got a guy in our church who's coming alive, and one of the main reasons is sober recovery. And Armando, a young 18-year-old, just on fire for Jesus, and he comes here and he feels the Holy Spirit and he feels the power to overcome his addictions. It is amazing. I can't wait to see in the new year how CR is going to just take off. Anyway.
And part of the reason we got the prayer cards updated again, and it's amazing the things that have happened since the prayer cards have been updated. You know, that's where we pray for each somebody every day. And it seems like something that wouldn't be important, but it undergirds everything.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks be to God.
You want to say the next one, Pastor Rick, about the Bubba Scouts?
Oh, yeah, Bubba Scouts. We've been wanting somebody to do Boy Scouts, but it costs too much money. And then I started doing Bubba Scouts. The Lord put an idea in my head. I guess we have the Bubba Breakfast, and we got a Bubba Pledge and everything now, you know. But Hector Santos stepped up and is faithful in coming and taking care of the Bubbas, even though they're only about this big, you know. But thanks be to God. And that's all from... It's all from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, okay? What's that?
Same guy
who,
that's right.
Who fixed the windows and let the light shine in the darkness here, okay?
More ways than one, yeah.
Yes. Heaven. We got food from Jesus, too. Every day we get food from Jesus. And some of us get too much.
And our food bank. This is our food bank has been a blessing to so many people, our food bank. Yeah. The women's team we talked about. I am so excited about the ladies having a place besides the men with our Bubba and our break bacon. The women have a place to come and talk about Jesus and talk about have lady things and women's stuff, but also God's stuff and how God can really bless the women in an awesome way.
Our wonderful sister congregations and partners in ministry. We have a farmer in North Dakota, Nick. We have Prairie Faith up in North Dakota. We have Shepherd of the Hills in Fountain Hills. We have a church in Scottsdale. We have partners and retired pastors, okay, that help us. And whenever I have to hold my check or I'm feeling really down about the church or the finances here, the Lord sends a check in the mail.
It's amazing.
You know?
It's really amazing.
Has that happened to anybody else with household expenses and stuff? Raise your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Happens all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Right when you think you're going to have to cash it in. The Lord just lifts you up, okay?
Amen.
And we talk about Saturday mornings, Bubba Breakfast. We got a teacher, David. Shirley's doing the women's tea. Hubby's here a couple hours earlier doing the men's Bible study. And David's doing a study on David. And it's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? I mean, it's just his wisdom is really, really cool.
And we get off on tangents. And the tangents are such a blessing. I don't know if you do that at the ladies' study, but we just get off on tangents.
Yep.
And it's just like, wow, you know. We've had 15 baptisms, mostly adults this year, many to disciples, two affirmations of baptism, okay, and very powerful. The Lord's at work here, pouring out His Holy Spirit.
And people being healed, and this is a thing both for the past year and the new year. Next weekend I'm going to go to visit a church, and they're having a healing service. It's Pastor Mary, Community of Hope, and I want to go there next Sunday night. And we're talking about, she felt the same thing, a higher level of spirit power for more people to be healed in 2012 than 2011.
Mm.
More people through Sandy and others, that others would have that gift. When they lay on hands and pray, they believe the miraculous and people are healed, right, just with God's power. Mm.
That you're mentioning it on the list. Bruce is on the list, okay? And who's going to be the Bruce
of 2012?
In 2012.
That pastor, we would never,
that's Pastor Perry's
point.
Point.
No, that's okay.
Already?
All right.
But growth, I'm going to take the next year. Growth in faith, growth in love, growth in discipleship. That's what Pastor and I look for, and we see it in everybody here. Okay? You're not the same as when you first walked in those doors.
You can see it in their faces, you know?
Thanks be to God, right?
Yeah.
Because look at this sermon's longer than 15 minutes.
And we're
still listening.
Oh, boy, this is a long one.
Thanks be to God, all right? Maybe we need to get another clock because we don't watch them anyway. All right. So, and unity,
yes,
the unity in the church,
precious.
That's so important. Okay, I mean, to come in and have people happy to be here, and there's no complaining and bitterness.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here, give me five.
It makes it a whole lot easier to be here. There's nothing worse than a pastor dreading coming on Sunday morning.
Really?
I've been there.
And we've been there. Where you don't want to go to church.
Man.
When a pastor doesn't want to go to church, there's something wrong. Okay, so
I think of also our Ash Wednesday service have been out of this world. Like I've never in Thanksgiving Eve services, Christmas Eve special service. And also, I think of the tornado and flood victims you helped this past year in Joplin, where I gave them hand delivered an offering here from Arizona. They were blown away. The people in North Dakota, Minot, right?
Mm-hmm.
The flood victims there, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool. A little church like you guys, a small church, and helping across the world with Pastor Daniel in Uganda, you know.
And more people entering the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mercy and a little heaven, okay? All right? Started entering the kingdom of God and seeing how God works, right? That's the key, is to see how God works, because He's working around us.
Mm-hmm.
But do we have eyes to see, all right? Do we have sandy eyes? Not too many of us, but okay. Now, quickly, because we're going late.
Yeah.
Any other blessings in 2011 anybody wants to mention? Okay. And Hazel's back was healed this year.
Yeah.
So thanks be to God.
That's awesome.
Already.
So God knew ahead of time you needed to have your back healed in order to take care of Mike. And
okay, quickly, in 2012, I had a dream about a full church. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what God has in mind.
Awesome.
But I'm just going to read through quickly, and then, Pastor, you can comment on what you'd like to. More people in the Word. More people praying, more and more people entering the kingdom of God, where they see the kingdom of God, okay? We're going to have a Spanish Crucio, the first one ever, okay? Thanks be to God.
Yay.
And Amazing Grace is leading the way. We have like 10 people on team, and we're going to have over 20 participants coming from this little church, okay? So praise God. Possibly new stained glass windows. Dorothy, who did the windows in the back, wants to do some for the front, okay? More healings.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Lord's going to...
Yes, Lord.
More anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's a big one. You know, we want more of the Spirit, more of the Ruach of God.
Mm-hmm.
Less religion and more mission.
Mm-hmm.
More love and more power.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your pastors are looking for to do.
And this whole thing about a new yield for a new year, it's also going deeper, as I mentioned before, deeper in the Word. And Pastor Rick and I, we've talked about... trying to get people in the Word even more in 2012 with this book that you're looking at for the members of the church to have, but getting deeper in the Word of God, deeper in worship, so that we get even closer to God and we just go higher and higher with God in worship. Where you're, whenever we're singing, when we do have the words, that you're not just, but when you're consciously engaging with the living God who's here with you in your worship as well as in heaven, and you're focused, my thoughts are lifted upward when I'm worshiping. So deeper in the Word and worship and in witness. That's about all I have. And when that happens, I'll be pretty happy.
The thing that struck me this morning when I was doing my devotions is that in 2011, how many of those things did we plan, Pastor? Maybe 10%?
Yeah, maybe. Wasn't us.
The Spirit of God just led us.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
And
I
think that's the key for us in 2012 as a church and individually in our lives, is to let the Lord guide us, okay? And then things work out better that
way. Sure do.
But why don't we think right now of what you would like in 2012. And Pastor Perry, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so look to the Lord. I think one of the real keys in worship and prayer is visualizing Jesus, visualizing God, and have all His glory, all His power, all His majesty, and all His love. So, Lord, we look to You, God, in this new year of 2012. You know our hearts, our inward thoughts right now, what we wish for in 2012. But we, again, yield them to You, Lord. We yield this year, this church, all the problems to You, Lord. The world and our nation. We surrender to You, our higher power, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're Your servants. We're at Your service, Lord. This church is at Your service. We're at Your Majesty's beck and call. Your command. You're the commander-in-chief. At Your command, we will go. We will go where You go. We will follow You. We bow to You, Messiah, King Jesus. All hail, King Jesus. We hail You. We worship You and adore You. We thank You for all the blessings of 2011. And we're very excited about 2012. May Your hand be with us, and may You hold us by Your hand. So we yield to You. Our wishes and our dreams, our hopes and fears of all the years are met in You, Jesus. Are met in You tonight and today, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We want more of Your presence, more of Your healing, more of Your Spirit, more of your love, more power, more of you in our lives, Lord, in 2012. And we ask a little favor if you can help our PowerPoint, Lord. But whatever the case, we just defer to you. We defer to you. And we refer others to you. In Jesus' name. And hear our prayers now, any prayers we might have to you, we offer them to you.